Well, I can honestly say thank you for the Father's Day gifts. I appreciate that very much. And now I got a tool that if I got a screw loose, I can tighten it up. So I figured Cheyenne would get a kick out of that. Well, it is a blessed day, and I get to preach from a new Bible. The church, well, this was donated to the church for the yard sale, and I saw it last Sunday, and I brought it to Effie, and I said, "Well, how much do we want for the Bible?" And she says, "Well, it was donated to the church. We'll just give it to our pastor." And that means a lot. So thank you. So I get to preach from it today. So this will be New King James Version today instead of the New American Standard, which I normally preach from. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Today we're looking at being absent from the body and present with the Lord. And when you get to 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 8, if you're able to stand, please do as I read from God's Word. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do want to thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, Lord, I pray that from your scripture, Lord, we will place into our hearts that while we are here on this earth, we are absent from you because our spirits are within our bodies. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to do the work that you've commanded us to do as Christians, that we will take the gospel message out into the highways and the byways, that we will tell others about Christ. And Lord, that we can help disciple those. And Father, today, give us the strength and the encouragement, Lord, to make changes within our lives, and that we will walk by faith and not by sight. And God, we know that when that glorious day comes, that we get to be with you in heaven. What a day that will be. And now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, and nothing from me or my own words. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to look at today is as a Christian believer, I want you all to know that we all have confidence in life, in death, and through all of eternity with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, the reality of our earthly life. Now, I read in verse 6 that while we are here on this earth, we are to be confident knowing that in the body we are absent from the Lord, which basically means you and I are alive. We have the Spirit of the Lord living within us. And we should be encouraged each and every day to live for the Lord, to seek out His will, to seek out His glory, and to live for Him and to do it joyfully. Now, there's times that we can get weary, but know this, that the love and the power of the Lord being at work in our life, if we look ahead to the things that the Lord has prepared for us, it should make us very joyful. See, you and I, we should never look at this life as something long and drawn out or something boring or whatever like that. But we should take every advantage in this life. When our feet hit the floor every day, we should truly thank God for every minute that we are alive. You know, when I got the text yesterday about Stephen being rushed back to the hospital and he almost died, You know, life is so fragile. We have no idea. You could be young and healthy and in your prime and gone just like that. And sometimes I think some people, not everybody, we tend to take advantage sometimes of every good thing that God has given to us. Now, I was kidding earlier. I was talking to Cheyenne and Carol. I said, now, Janine worked me really hard yesterday. And I said, boy, there should be child labor laws enforced, you know, from all the hard work that I had to do. And we just kind of kidding and laughing about that. But, you know, in all reality, it was a fun day. Life yesterday, we got this old Amish swing that we bought about 7 or 8 years ago up there at Ava at the Amish store. And it's been outside for all these years now, and it had a lot of green algae. So I got out there and got to clean it. Now, some folks I know don't really like, they don't think cleaning's very fun. Now, if I had to clean the house, that wouldn't be very fun to me. But outside projects, I do enjoy. So yesterday we were outside, and I took the swing apart. Now, if you've ever seen an Amish-built swing, man, these people can put, they got screws in them. They're very well built. So I took all the screws out, removed all the wood. But I just want to say this real quick, that instead of looking at it as a dreadful thing, I just truly enjoyed the moment that God gave me in this life. Father, thank you for the ability to take the swing apart, to sand every little grain of wood down and get the green algae off to get it ready to stain. And by the end of last night, we were sitting out in the yard in our chairs, and we were just admiring the swing. Pretty much the whole front side of it's been stained. It's called Early American. It's the most beautiful color. But it's just a joy to sit back and see what we were able to do. And it's all because of God giving us the talent and the abilities to do these things and the strength. Now, when I got up this morning, I was sore in places that I didn't realize I still had muscles. But I'll make it through. But on that, in this life on the face of the earth, I want to do everything that I can to please my Heavenly Father. So He's given me everything that I need to live, to do His will, to be joyful in all things. And I know that while I'm in this body, I have to realize one thing. It's temporary. And with that temporary moment, I need to make it all for Christ. I don't want life to be about me. I've always said this. Now, if I die before the rapture happens, I don't want people to walk by my casket and say, man, he was a great guy. I certainly don't want people to say he's never looked better. But I don't want people to walk by my casket and go, man, he was the greatest guy. No, I'm not. You know who's great? God is great. God is the one who gave me the ability to be here, to be in this pulpit, and I'm thankful for that. So while my life is temporary, I want it to be all about Jesus, not me. And that's the motto. I learned that from a good man. I had a good mentor, Donnie Colson. I told you he passed away a couple weeks ago. Man, do I miss him. I miss our talks. I miss praying with him. I miss our conversations on the phone. And I certainly have missed. Now, Donnie Colson, God bless him, he was about 5'4", and I could never see him in the clothes racks over at the stores. But I remember one time I see these hands going like this above the clothing rack, and I thought, that's got to be Donnie Colson over there. And it was a thankful time. But it was moments like that it just seemed like God lined up the event to happen, and we would stand there and talk. We would end up praying together. And those things are moments that I have cherished. We live in a fallen world where there's so much suffering. There's a lot of trials. There's a lot of heartaches and heaviness. There's so much that weighs down on people. And you know, truthfully, we could take that and lay it on our shoulders, and we could concentrate on it, and we could live that way, but then we would live an absolutely defeated life. There would be no victory. But we can take all of these things, turn them over to Christ, and we know that by faith, when we place them in God's care, He can take all of those situations and He can turn them around for our good. There's a story, and a lot of you may have heard this. If you have, just bear with me for a moment. But there was this old farmer, and he had lost his donkey. And so he went out one day, and he was searching for his donkey. And as he come by, he saw this big, deep hole that had been dug, and when he looked down into the bottom of it, there was his donkey. Well, he had no means or no method to get the donkey out of the hole, so he thought, well, the only thing that I can do is I can get a shovel, and I'm going to have to take all of this dirt and just bury that donkey in that hole. I can't get him out. So the farmer went and got him a shovel. He come back to the hole, and he started. With one scoop of dirt, he threw it down in the hole, landed on the donkey's back. The donkey, I'm not going to shake my body or nothing. I don't want this floor to wiggle and move. But that donkey would shake the dirt off his back and tampered under his feet. Another scoop of dirt, same thing happened, was repeated. Another scoop of dirt, and the donkey patted the dirt down below his feet. And before long, after the farmer had thrown all that dirt on the donkey's back, the donkey knew that he didn't want to be buried in that hole. He didn't want to be in a place of darkness. So he shook the dirt off, stomped it under his feet because he had a brain to think with. But before long, the farmer had thrown enough dirt in that hole and the donkey had tamped it down with his four little feet. The donkey was right there at the top of the ground, and the farmer was able to rescue his donkey. And there's a moral to that story. Life is going to throw a lot of dirt at you when you're down in a hole. Don't let the dirt weigh you down. Don't let problems in life bury you and keep you in a place that God didn't mean for you to be. Shake the dirt off, put it down underneath your feet, and then stand up by faith and worship God, because before you realize it, you'll be at the top of that hole, knowing that God is the one who provided the way for you to get out of the hole. We should never hopefully get ourselves in a hole in the first place, but sometimes we do. I'm guilty of that. So just know that this life, it's not permanent. This is very temporary. Now, we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And I won't take much on this because this is pretty understandable. Faith trusts God's promises despite present circumstances or situations. I'll read that again. Faith trusts God's promises despite present circumstances or situations. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. Faith is what pleases God. When you are in a circumstance, when you are in a situation that your brain is so already overthought, you've got no more perception or ideas left, you don't know what to do, know that you can focus your heart and your mind on Christ. And if you will trust Him by faith, now, it doesn't mean, I make this clear, just because you trust God by faith doesn't mean it's going to go how you think it should, the outcome, or how life should be. I told you before, I had this, when I became a preacher, I had this grand plan in my head that I was going to pastor a big church, and I was going to pastor till I was probably in my 70s like my grandfather, and then I was going to retire, and probably live out in the Hawaiian Islands. Well, no, not Hawaii. I don't want to live out in the middle of the ocean like that. I don't like going that far out across the water anyway. But I had this grand scheme, this grand plan. But you know what? It didn't turn out that way. Yeah, I did get a pretty good-sized church years back. But it wasn't what God wanted. But I believe God opened the door to teach me a lesson. That God just basically said, I've given you a free will. You can make your own choices, but God's ultimate will is that here's what we would do. Lord, I take my life and I just give it to you. And I want to walk whatever your will is. I want to experience every day with you, knowing that you're with me. Your word says you never leave me, you never forsake me. So by faith, I'm going to trust you with this. And I still battle a lot of Rockies. There's so many people. You have no idea what people is going through that's right here in this church house this morning. There's no idea what's going on. But I can tell you this. God knows, God loves you, and God cares. And He wants you to know you're not in this fight by yourself. Believers have to look beyond what is seen to eternal realities. And what that means is you can't look at the physical things and trust in those. You have to look beyond that. You have to look into the spiritual realm. You have to look into the things of God. Now I want to read something to you out of Hebrews. And man, this really, this is good word. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now see here, everything, now God created everything that's around us. God created this earth. He created all living things. He created the trees, the flowers. He put order into everything. And so what we have to look at, man did not create this earth. There was no gaseous explosion. I don't care what these scientists say. I always said, now scientists may have these PhDs and whatever, but they ain't very smart, because I hear a lot of them saying that there was a big gaseous explosion one day, and then all of a sudden, here was all these planets and the solar systems, and then you got the evolutionists who come along and say, well, we started off as a little tadpole in the water, and eventually we came out of the water, we became whatever, and then we morphed into this and more. Well, that's what the world is teaching, because that's the lies they want you to believe. But what we're seeing around us, this was all created, spoken by the Word of God. God spoke everything into existence. And He gave us the beauty that's all around us to enjoy. I love every Sunday getting to see the vase of flowers. Now, somebody might say that's a little weird for a man to... Well, no, it's not weird for a man to like flowers. I love flowers. But I love getting to see what Nora Lee brings in a vase every Sunday. That is a blessing. God gave us beauty. If you look at these flowers, they're all different. There's vibrant colors. There's different smells. God spoke all of this into existence. So by that, God is saying, if He's done all this, then He's got your life right there in His hand, and all He wants you to do is trust Him, walk by faith, and not by sight. Because see, the things of God are eternal. The things of God hold more value than the things on this earth. The believer's confidence in death. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we can definitely look at that scripture and we can see that the Apostle Paul, he was not afraid of death. And death is not the end of the Christian life. You know, sometimes we sit around and we can think about things and it can put you into a worried frenzy. I got called to the hospital one time for a lady, and I'll make this quick story, that was dying of cancer, and she was afraid to die. And I got called up there to talk to her. I took a Bible. Well, I didn't take a Bible with me to give to her, but I had my Bible, and I just started to share with her. I had to really pray on this one. I had never spoken to somebody that was afraid to die. So as I got to the hospital and talked with her and shared from the Word, I told her, I said, Alice, when I come back in a few days, I'm going to bring you a Bible. So I gave her a Bible that was basically brand new and had been just sitting in the house, nobody using it. And I put my church card in there and I went back to the hospital. And here's what I noticed. Now, this is what the Lord had done. Her outlook was a little bit different. And she said, I want to thank you for the visit. And I want to thank you for this Bible. You have no idea what that means to me. Well, that was around Thanksgiving one year. April, the next year, I get a phone call one evening from a lady. And she said, Brother Jim, you went and saw my sister. I just want to let you know she is at home and she lives in Marion and she's dying and she's wanting to see you desperately. Will you go see her? I said, yes, ma'am, I will. You give me an address and I'll be there right now. And I went over to Alice's house, and when I walked in, there was a hospice nurse there. And I thought, wow, this is pretty serious. And the hospice nurse said, well, she's in that back room and she's waiting for you. She's been talking about you, said she's missed seeing you. And I remember going back in that back bedroom and there lay Alice. Now she'd gone from 140 pounds, I think she was down to probably 92 pounds. The cancer had gotten all over her body. But I leaned over the bed and I took her by the hand and she held my hand really tight. And this is what she said to me. Brother Jim, I'm no longer afraid to die. She said, I can't wait. I can't wait to get into heaven. And that, I can't tell you what that did for me right there. So there's a lot of Christians who fear death. But it's not the end. It's not a thing to fear. In the moment of death, yeah, it's unexpected. We don't know, but I want to share this with you. Death is not the end of life. There are so many different religions that teach when you die, it's all over. No, it's not. Some religions even teach it when you die, your spirit stays in the body until the Lord calls you out of the grave. That's incorrect. That is totally incorrect. If you go look at Matthew and Luke and John, there are three accounts where it talks about at Jesus' death, he gave up his spirit. Matthew says he yielded up his spirit. Luke says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And in John 19:30, Jesus gave up his spirit. So at the moment of death, for the Christian person, the spirit immediately leaves the body. And I have heard on many accounts of Christian people who were dying that they even had said at the moment, this is accounts from family members that were with their loved ones, that they were already seeing things that you and I couldn't see because they were already in transition. I want you to know this. I firmly believe at the time of death, the Christian is never alone. It's not a scary situation. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something that as a Christian we ought to embrace, because I believe at the time of death, I believe that the angels are there, and I believe that the Lord is if the Lord is present with us in this life, He is definitely present with us in death. And He's there to take us by the hand, and He is there to usher us into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know what all that's like. I've never died. So, I can't tell you anything about how it is, but I can give you this assurance. You have peace as a Christian at the time of death. To leave the body is to enter Christ's presence. Now, I got into a discussion one time with the woman from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that was a discussion I should have never got into. I should have just zipped my lip and went on, because it didn't really get... But she said, nope, nope. When you die, you're in the grave, and that's it. And then Jesus will call you forth. And I said, well, you need to go back and read Scripture about where Jesus gave up His Spirit. So what happened there when Jesus gave up His Spirit? That's the sign for you and I. Jesus died, He left His body, and He went to be with the Father. Now, we know in 3 days He came out of the tomb, and that's the symbol of the resurrection for you and I as a Christian, that when we die, our spirit does go to be with the Lord, because it's right there in 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But at the time of resurrection, the second coming, when that trumpet sounds, the Bible says that the dead in Christ, those bodies in the grave, they will be, there ain't no grave going to hold them bodies down. There's a song about that too. If you ain't never heard it, it's a good one. But when the Lord comes back, the bodies will come out of the grave. The spirit that went on will come back, and they will be joined together and changed. So the spirit, well, let me go back here. And then the ones who are living, those of us, if you haven't died yet and Jesus comes back, guess what? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this all happens. We will be quickly changed and caught up to meet them in the air, and forever we will be with the Lord. Now, we should take great comfort in knowing that. So, if you have a loved one, if you've got a Christian loved one that has gone on before you, now I'm going to say, I say this, and I'm saying it with respect. I'm not being negative in any way. Their body is in the grave. They're not there. That's just the old house. Somebody has said, I don't need this old house any longer. I'm going to my new home. That's another good song too, This Old House. Anybody ever heard that? That's a good one. I ain't even going to try to sing it either. I don't want to ruin your hearing this morning. So, but at that time, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and forever with Jesus we will be. So, for the believer, death is a departure into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. So take comfort with that. And then lastly, the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, there at the last, to be present with the Lord. And that just means that heaven's greatest blessing is Jesus Himself. Jesus is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God. And He will rule and reign. He will be our judge. And believers, at the time of death, you'll get to see Him face to face. Isn't it great? You don't get put in some holding room to have to wait to see Him like you when you go to the doctor. The doctor tells you to be there 20 minutes early, and then you're still sitting there 45 minutes past your time waiting to see the doctor, and you're getting discouraged. Well, thank God heaven's not like that. As soon as you get to heaven, you see Jesus face to face. You lay down your cross and you receive everything that the Lord has you for according to how you lived your life. Can you imagine? Every Sunday, I love seeing my church family. I really do. Every Sunday, it's a blessing to come in here and laugh and get hugs and talk. That's great. I love to see your beautiful faces. But you know what? Who I want to see the most? Jesus. He's the one who died on the cross for me. He's the one who gave His life. He's the one who has walked with me and talked with me along life's narrow ways because He lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Boy, I love them good old Baptist hymns, don't you? Or just the good hymnals. And then fellowship with Christ, it will be complete and eternal. Listen to that again. Our fellowship with the Lord, it'll be complete and it's eternal. See, we leave here as soon as old windbag here gets done talking. We get to leave here and go our separate ways. And fellowship here, we're done on Sunday morning. But our fellowship with the Lord when we get to heaven, it never ends. I tell you what, I can't hardly sing a lick here, but I can't wait to hear what I sound like in heaven. Oh my goodness. What voices we'll have, what joy there will be. Can you think your face looks good now when you smile? Look at your neighbor and tell them how beautiful they look when they smile. See, I got some folks smiling. You can smile. It ain't going to crack your face or nothing. It'd be all right. But the joy will be being with Jesus, the greatest joy of all. And it will never, ever end. There's three assurances for the believer. Death is not defeat. Death is not a defeat. Because Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, He had victory over death, hell, and the grave. And that very same thing He has passed on down to you and I as Christian people. But you have to be a Christian and you have to live for Him. So when you die, it's not a defeat. You have gained a great victory. Christ is present beyond the grave, and eternity with Jesus is secure for those who trust Him. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you prepared to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord? If not, you need to trust Jesus Christ today and live with that confidence of your eternal future. Because without Christ, that's why I always want to hit this in every sermon I preach. You got to be saved to get to heaven. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me," which is why He gave His life. And if we've got issues in our own heart, if we're not saved, or if we got family members that aren't saved, and they die, and we've never said a word, we've never been a witness, we've never stepped out of our comfort zone, and we knew that was what we were supposed to do, man, and somebody died, that'd be a lot of guilt. Knowing that somebody died without Jesus. That's why today is the day of salvation. Today is when we need to come to Christ. If you're not saved, say, "Father, I need Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I need to be saved." Because if you die without Jesus, it's eternal separation from God. And then at the great white throne judgment, Christ will open up and the devil the beast and the false prophet and all of those who followed Satan, they'll be cast into a lake of fire forever. Now, that's a long time, eternal. It doesn't end. There's people today trying to change that, and they're saying, oh, well, surely God wouldn't allow it. It says it in His Word. But God is the one who gave us the way out of that. But if we reject Him, then that's on us. But if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, when you leave this body, you will be present with the Lord, just as the Apostle Paul wrote in Scripture, inspired by God.